Thanks, Maxine, for that reading. All right, let me just pray and then we'll jump into the message this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that even though it's written thousands of years ago, it is still truth and it's still applicable to our lives today, Lord. And we just thank you that you are gracious enough to use us to be able to teach your word, to speak to your people, and I pray that you would do that through me this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you were here over the last month, you would know that we have been journeying through May Missions Month. And last week we had the last last week of May. So that means that May Missions Month is now finished. But in Colin's sermon last week, he made a point that really just stuck out to me that I wanted to touch on again today. And he said that just because May Missions Month is finished, that doesn't mean that we should stop crossing the street and sharing the love of Jesus with those around us. May Missions Month wasn't just a new trend for us to jump on board with, like a new diet or a new TV show to watch. May Missions Month and the theme of crossing the street was actually a reminder to all of us as followers of Jesus that we have the responsibility. We have the responsibility to be intentionally crossing the street and following Jesus' example. Now, if you have been coming to church for some time, if you've read the Bible at all, you would know that Jesus lived an intentional life. He always had a purpose for everything that he did, from choosing his 12 disciples, from the people that he spoke to in his time here, the miracles that he performed, the towns that he visited, even his death and resurrection was all intentional. So we know that Jesus was always looking to cross the street and meet people where they were at. And of course, he was always intentional about the way that he did that. And so as we look to now keeping the theme of crossing the street from becoming last month's trend in our lives, I wanted to look at today one of the principles that Jesus used when he crossed the street. And that is a principle called the people of peace. Excuse me. It's not only something that we'll notice that Jesus used in his ministry, but he was also very intentional about making sure that his disciples understood it and used it in theirs. And then so, as us today, as followers of Jesus, it would only make sense that we would hope and strive to do the same in our lives. We heard already read what Jesus told his 12 disciples in Luke chapter 9. But what I wanted to look at today is a bit more of an expansion of that almost exact same speech that he gave to the 12 that he instructed also to the 72 disciples on looking for people of peace. And the question that I wanted to look at today, excuse me, is how do we find people of peace in our lives today where we are? Let's have a look at Luke chapter 10. We're going to be working through verse 5 to 12. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open them up to there. So Luke chapter 10, verses 5 to 6, it says, and this was Jesus as he's instructing the 72. The 12 have already gone out and come back. And then now Jesus' following is growing, and so he sends out the 72 again in the same manner. And he says this to them, he says, whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand, and if they are not, the blessing will return to you. The first thing that Jesus looked for when he was looking for a person of peace is someone who liked him or who was open to him. And so we don't want to end up like this. You might not be able to see it down there, but it says there's obviously people visiting their next door neighbours or someone, and it says, let's see how long they can stay crouched behind the sofa. So this is not what Jesus was talking about. This is not the kind of people that we want to be, or we don't want to be thought of as people hiding away. Instead, what we see in Jesus' ministry is we see him initiating conversations to see if the person he is wanting to minister to is open to what he is sharing, he wants to share with them. And we've got many examples of this in the Bible. You look at the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus approaches her, she's at the well, and Jesus initiates something that is culturally unexpected. But the woman is still open. She opened to an extended conversation with Jesus. Or we see the government's official sick son that Jesus heals. And he'd heard about Jesus and the ministry that he was doing, the things that he'd done for other people. And he was open enough that he came to Jesus and begged him for help. Or even we have a Roman officer's sick slave. A Roman official was interested enough in Jesus and Nazarene that he sent his respected Jewish leaders to ask him, of his slave to be healed. But what we also see as well is on the flip side of this. We've looked at people who are open, but on the flip side, we see when Jesus was sharing the gospel with people as well, he never ran after people that weren't open to it. And we see this a number of times, like when many of his followers deserted him in John chapter 6. We don't see Jesus chasing after them. Or after he healed the demon-possessed man in Luke chapter 8, and the people asked him to leave his land because they were afraid. We don't see him demand to stay and try to continue to reach people that weren't open. And especially even when he was rejected by the people in his hometown of Nazareth in Mark chapter 6. Jesus didn't waste his time trying to force his message on those who weren't open to receiving it. Now, I don't believe that Jesus didn't want those people to receive his message, because of course he did. He wants everybody to receive his message. But Jesus knew that he wasn't going to be the best way for his message to get across to these people. When Jesus was finding people of peace, he first looked for someone who was open and like him. And the second thing that Jesus looked at is someone who was willing to serve him. As we continue on in his explanation to his 72 disciples, Jesus says, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. And don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Jesus recognizes that when someone is willing to serve him, it meant that they were more than just open. They weren't just open to Jesus, or they didn't just like Jesus, but when someone was willing to serve him, it meant that they were more invested in Jesus and what he had to say. Their friendship was stronger than just a casual meeting, or the relationship and connection that they had was so strong that they were now willing to put his needs before their own. And we see examples of this throughout Scripture as well. After Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 12, what we see happen is they prepare a meal as in Jesus' honour to thank him. When Jesus calls Levi, the tax collector, from his booth to follow him and become one of his disciples in Mark chapter 2, what does Levi do? He comes and he opens his house and he invites Jesus in for a meal. And then we also see this take place as well with the man Zacchaeus, who climbed up the tree to see Jesus. and was called out by Jesus in Luke 19. And he comes down and Jesus goes to his house as a guest of honour amongst notorious sinners. So when Jesus is looking for people of peace, he was looking for someone who was open to him, and he was looking for someone who was willing to serve him. But the final thing that Jesus looked for when he was looking for a person of peace was someone who would also listen to him. And we see this in continue in chapter 10 of Luke, verses 9 to 12, where he continues telling the disciples. He says to them, "Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate.' And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on judgment day." Now we know that Jesus didn't come down to heaven to make a fashion statement. He didn't come down to heaven to be super popular and have lots of friends. But rather we know that he came down intentionally with a purpose to share his message of the good news, a message that is available to all who are willing to listen and who are willing to accept it. And we see this with the continuation of the story of the woman at the well. Jesus is talking to her, she's open to conversation, and then they begin talking about living water, and she responds to him. She asks, "Can you give me this water?" And likewise, when Jesus heals the government official's son, the government official has come to him and is begging him, and Jesus says to him, he just says, "Go back home to your son." And he listens. He listens to what Jesus said. And as he's heading back to his home, he's met by some of his servants telling him that his son has been healed. And when Jesus heals the demon-possessed boy, we see the father is saying, he says, "If anything is possible, if you believe." To which point, listening to Jesus, the father cries out and he says, "I believe." But what we don't see Jesus doing is we don't see him going out on the street corner preaching to try and reach as many people as he could. And I think that's for good reason. I think because Jesus knew what Theodore Roosevelt quoted many years later. He said this quote. He said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. As revealed in this quote, I think Jesus understood the importance of building a connection with the people that he was trying to minister to. In order not just to have a connection, but in order for his ministry to have a long-term impact on their life. So when Jesus and his disciples were looking to cross the street, they were intentionally looking for people of peace that they could cross the street and minister to. And these were three things that they paid attention to. They looked for people who were open or liked them. They looked for people who were willing to serve them or to invite them into their homes, who were hospitable. And they looked for people who were willing to listen to what they had to say, to listen to their message that they were called to share. And it's no surprise that we see that it wasn't just Jesus and his disciples that did this, but even Paul uses this principle as well in opportunities in ministry. And we see this in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyra, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she asked us to be her guests. Excuse me. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed. So how do we know? If there are people of peace, how do we know who are people of peace today? Now, I think one of the common mistakes that we often make when it comes to trying to identify people of peace in our lives and in our circle of influences is that we aren't really looking for people of peace, but rather we're looking for people of ease. Okay, we're not thinking, when we're thinking about crossing the street, we're always on the lookout for someone that's easy to approach, someone who maybe believes the same things that we do, or someone who's at the same social status, or the same gender, even the same religion. We're always on the lookout for these people, someone who's got their life all together and it's not going to be a trouble talking to them. And yes, sometimes people of ease might also be people of peace in our lives. But as we've seen from the scriptures that we've briefly looked at today, people of peace can also be people who aren't easy for us to approach. They can be people who have made mistakes. They can have troubled pasts. They can be in the midst of difficult situations. They can even be from different cultures, genders, religions. But people of peace are everywhere. And also, just on a side note, I want to mention that when looking for a person of peace in your life, this process and principle that we've looked at this morning, it isn't always a linear step. It's not one after the other. It could be that maybe someone you recognize is serving you first, or through serving you, they've been open to hearing your message, and through hearing your message, they've become to like you and open to who you are. So it's not a linear step-by-step guide, but it's something for us to be paying attention to each three of these things in people that we meet. And so if people of peace are everywhere, how do we discover who the people of peace in our lives are? Because truthfully, a person of peace for me might not be a person of peace for you. And it's actually quite simple. And Jesus gave this simple instruction to his 12 disciples, his 72 disciples, and all his followers. And he said this. He just said, go and try it. Go out and be intentional about living your life like Jesus was. He asked his disciples and his followers to be intentional with theirs. Go out into the harvest. It is plentiful. Go. He sent the Great Commission. He called us to go out and try it. So as you are going about your daily life, how can you be intentional? If you don't already, go out and meet people. That is a great way to find a person of peace. If you get out, do different things. There is a number of things. Join a sports team. Volunteer somewhere. Walk around your block when everybody else is. Or Thursdays, Brighton Light. Come along to Brighton Light. There's lots of people here that you can meet. Or you can engage in conversations with people. I know for myself it's easy to just prefer to walk past someone than to actually engage in a conversation, not just say hi or how's your day, but actually intentionally engaging in conversations. Maybe at the checkout, if you go to a place, a regular local place, and you see the same person, engage with them, school drop-off. I drop off our girls every now and again, and there's opportunity to talk to other parents. In the office, if you work in an office. In the gym, if you go to the gym. There is places for you to be intentional about engaging in conversation with other people you don't know. And then be considering who has invited you over for dinner that you've said no to. Who has been willing to serve you that you maybe have declined? Who invited you for a meal? Who has gone out of their way to do something for you? Who do you know in your life that puts your needs before their needs? And then pay attention to people that are interested in your life and you. People who ask you questions in the office. They ask, oh, how was your weekend? Or people who they want to spend time with you. They want to have lunch with you. Or when they're in trouble, they come and ask you for help. Because as we go and intentionally do these things in our lives, what we'll start to notice is that there are people who are interested and open to us, our lives. We might realize that we also have people that not only like us and that are interested in us, but that they want to serve us. They want to put our needs before theirs and do things for us. And then there's the people that maybe not only like you and serve you, but then they're also willing to listen to you and what you tell them and what you share with them, how you speak into their life. They're willing to listen and put it into action. If on the way in, hopefully you grabbed one, but there was a printout that I just asked to be handed out. If you didn't grab one of these, anyone didn't get one of these, it's a little People of Peace printout. If you didn't, I've got a stack here that I was supposed to give to the front door, but got distracted by something else. But I just want to encourage you, as you just have a look, and as we've been working through this sermon, talking about people of peace, just to take a moment to think about people in your life right now. And in particular, we're not thinking about people who are already believers and committed followers of Jesus, but rather we're looking for people who you maybe are just starting to understand faith, or maybe don't have any connection to the church but have a connection with you. These are people that you want to be putting on this list. And it's not to put on this list just so you're aware, but it's a reminder for you that you have these people in your life, and what are you doing to take them to the next step, to take them from maybe someone who is open to you to maybe someone who listens to you, or whatever order it might be. So I encourage you, you can do it now or as you go away this afternoon, just take some time to think intentionally about the people of peace in your life. Because when you find someone, maybe you've got someone who fits in all of these categories now, but they're not a believer of Jesus. And when you find someone like that, you've done it. You've found a person of peace in your life. But now you've found a person of peace, what do you do now? The next step now, it's simple. Sorry, I need to have another drink. The next step is simple. It is tell them about Jesus. And we see this take place in all of the examples that we've looked at in Scripture today, where Jesus looked for people of peace. In the places where Jesus found people of peace, like the woman at the well, we see that she went away and she'd learnt about Jesus, and then she went. The demon-possessed man went away completely changed. Levi the tax collector left as a follower of Jesus. Zacchaeus, who climbed up the tree, completely turned his life around from the way he was living. And Jesus just shared the good news with them. And when they received it, they went and not only changed their life, and this is one of the key things about people of peace, is that they went on to share it with their families, with their towns, and even in some instances with the country. And many more people believed because of this one person of peace that Jesus spoke to, compared to the many that he actually met. And I just want to share a real example of this, of a person of peace and the impact that it can make when we meet them. In our previous church in Queensland, I worked alongside a prison chaplain, and he shared with us, our pastors, the impact of finding a person of peace in the prison that he was ministering in. He'd been meeting with a number of guys that had been incarcerated for different reasons, different crimes. And as you could imagine, in a prison, being a Christian chaplain, the first few conversations were not very productive at all. But as weeks went by, he was persistent and kept attending, kept meeting with these same guys. And slowly, not everybody changed, but one guy, he started to become more open to the conversations that they were sharing. And so he continued. He continued meeting with the others as well, but intentionally meeting with this guy. And he went from just being open to casual conversations to now asking deeper conversations, asking questions about the struggles that he was having being in prison. And so this casual conversation turned into deeper questions. And as he continued meeting and asking and answering these deeper questions, this inmate was obviously having something change in his life. And obviously being in prison, there wasn't an opportunity for him to serve the chaplain. But what we did notice is that he eventually gave his life to Christ, in prison still, came to be a follower of Jesus. And now you're probably thinking, and as often I think we do, when we hear prison conversion stories, we think, oh, it just ends there. He's in prison. He's chosen to be a believer because he wants to get early release. We can often stereotype people that way and question whether he's really been converted. But the prison chaplain continued to meet with this man even after he was born again. And then, as most of you probably know, there's opportunities that come up for parole for certain inmates to be able to be released earlier than normal. And this inmate mentioned to the chaplain, he said, oh, look, my parole is coming up soon. And the chaplain asked him, he said, are you excited to apply for your parole? And the response of the prisoner was something that we just wouldn't have expected. And the prisoner responded and he said, actually, I'm not going to be applying for parole, because he said that he felt that God wanted him to stay in the prison so that he could now minister to the other prison inmates. And this is a person of peace. Someone who he didn't end up serving the prison chaplain, but is now willing to serve other inmates in his area, and someone who is going to have way more ability to reach the people in the prison for God's glory than a prison chaplain would ever have. So if you've written on your People of Peace card, or if you haven't, if you don't have any ideas of people on there, I just want to encourage you with a few things that you can do to help maybe bring people of peace across your path. And obviously one of the obvious ones is prayer. You can pray, ask God, be bold and courageous in your prayers. Say, God, bring a person of peace across my path, into my life. Or maybe you could do a prayer walk around your block, praying for your neighborhood and praying intentionally for God to reveal someone to you who might be a person of peace. If it's not your work, not your block, it could be your workplace or maybe an area that you engage in regularly. And as I mentioned before, meet people. Join a social sports club. That's why I actually joined the basketball team that I'm playing for, is to have a connection outside of the church and things that I do. Spend time around other people. Just be intentional. It can be easy to stay at home. And I know COVID's made it even easier. We're like, oh, it's just so nice to just be at home with the family. There's too much worries out in the world. But we need to be out with people. And thirdly, be real with people as well. It's not good enough just to go out with people and just to ask them surface level questions and to never really care or be real, as Theodore Roosevelt said. People want to know that we care before they want to know what we know. So ask questions about people's passions, about their difficulties, about what's important to them. And then obviously ask them if they want to learn about Jesus. Most importantly, though, to finish off, is trust the Holy Spirit. Okay, it can be easy to feel like we're going away from here and that it's our job to make people of peace, but that's not what our job is. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit's work. He will be working, or he is working already in people. All we have the privilege of is discovering these people of peace in our life, and discovering them and then walking alongside them as they journey to believing in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you just for the fact that it is not our job to make people believe in you. Lord, the Holy Spirit is working in all of us, and we know that he is preparing people. Jesus said it, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then he gave this incredible explanation to his disciples on how to look for people who are ready to harvest, Lord. So I just pray for us as a church, Lord, as we head out into this week, that you would just be opening our eyes to people of peace, that you would just be helping us to be intentional about who we talk to, intentional about being looking out for the signs, looking out for people who are open to us, looking out for people who are willing to put our needs before theirs, who are willing to invite us over for meals. And ultimately, Lord, that we are looking for people who are listening to what we have to say. And Lord, when we find those people, help us to be courageous and help us to be bold and to share the good news that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.